This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Row One Seat One podcast. We have a varied show this week. I have Sean Shea on. Sean's from Excite Wrestling in the upstate New York region. He's going to be my first guest. And then I have sort of a cornucopia of guests coming on after him. I went to Southern Underground Pro Wrestling. I also went to Action Wrestling this week and a Carpet City Clash in Dalton. But I was able to get O'Shea Edwards, IFHY, Tyler Matrix, and Jaden Newman after his marriage proposal. So you're going to hear a variety of guests after Sean. You're just going to kind of pop in here and there. Bear with the sound quality, if you don't mind. It's a little rough. I was trying to record people outside, and people were popping in and out of the door and stuff like that. I'm sure you can understand the travails of trying to record at a show. But I got some good guests, so Shay and Jaden, and the IFHY guys are wild. Absolutely wild, and obviously Warhorse, not Jake Parnell, Warhorse is one heck of a wrestler now. He is the IWTV champion, gave me a great little 10 minutes or so, and then Tyler Matrix is an up-and-coming wrestler in the Alabama scene. Some good guests. I was really proud of the guests we were able to get for the show. Each one of them is about, you know, anywhere between 5 and 10 minutes, so you'll kind of get a nice little, you know, just, you know, little spurts here and there of, you know, some of the people you meet at Southern Underground Pro and some of the shows in and around the South. But I have Sean Shea on right now. Sean, welcome to the show.
Hey, Ben. Thanks for having me.
And you are involved in the upstate New York scene in wrestling. How is the scene up there right now?
It seems to be growing. You know, a lot of excitement. I know they're doing good things up in Rochester and Syracuse. Buffalo's really coming alive. But down here in Binghamton, we've been sort of chugging along for the last 7-8 years now with Excite, and we've got some, no pun intended, some really exciting things coming up over the next months and hopefully years. So
tell us your story. How did you fall in love with wrestling? How did you get involved in wrestling? What is your wrestling lore?
My first memory of wrestling, I always say, is I had to have been very, very, very young. My parents must have put me asleep on the couch or something like that, and I sort of woke up and my parents were watching what I now understand to be like an AWA show from the early 80s. So I'm deceptively old.
And yet you're still a fan. You're watching AWA and you're still a fan.
Well, it gets better because it was the, I remember the walk-by t-shirt ads where like Greg Gagne would come out and show the High Flyers t-shirt, and like Buck Zumhoff would come out with his boom box. And I just remember my dad, who's a bit of a smartass, saying like, "Oh, well, Sean's arms are bigger than that guy," and I just laughed and fell asleep again, as it were. But that's like my first memory of wrestling is that. And then fast forward, must have been a year or two after that, parents took me to WrestleMania.
Man, what?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I mean, my first show is WrestleMania.
Oh my god.
I was like 5, so I don't, like, I remember it now, but I'm not sure if I remember it from having watched it a million times since then as much as I do from having been there. But my first show was WrestleMania 1.
My god.
First angle I remember, we had a great aunt who lived with us growing up, and we were watching Saturday afternoon, whatever it was, and it was the incident where Paul Orndorff turned on Hulk Hogan and helped the Heenan family beat him up. And I just remember this old lady being disgusted. Like, how dare he do that to his friends? That's disgusting. And instantly, I'm in love with the heels. So it just became the coolest thing in the world.
You
so
were
just,
that I, kid.
I realized I was the Piper kid. I fell for the Ultimate Warrior shtick of it all. But, you know, I think everybody did at that point.
You were either a Hogan kid or a Warrior kid. I was decidedly a Warrior kid. And the day after WrestleMania 6, I walked around like a peacock around school.
I was a Warrior kid. I was a Piper kid. Of everything, though, my favorite growing up was Kerry Von Erich, because we got World Class.
Oh, man.
So, and it was always on after school. You'd get home, and at 4 o'clock on ESPN, Legends of World Class was on. Here, I don't know that, like, David Von Erich's been dead for 5 years. But, you know, I'm thinking the Von Erichs and the Freebirds and Iceman King Parsons and Chris Adams and all those guys are just the coolest. And, you know, then it was never really in great chronological order, because then you'd skip ahead and the Simpson brothers would be on. And it just blew my mind.
Did you know, like, their dad was bankrolling the whole thing?
No. I was like, I didn't know that. I was this many years old when I found that out, apparently. I was today years old. That's the thing. But I remember just being mind blown that there were white people from Africa. Like, and my mom was like, yeah, that happens. And I was, I'm 6 years old. This is 6 years old in the 80s. So perhaps it's not the most woke realization.
No, it's good to learn. It's good to learn.
But yeah, it could have been far worse. I always loved wrestling. I took in everything I could, watched every day, because World Class was on after school. Get that homework done, and I get to watch wrestling, and then watch wrestling on the weekends. And wake up and VHS the really terrible early Saturday morning TBS show, and watch 605 and everything I could do.
What stations were you getting? The New York City stations, or were you getting?
Yes.
Oh man. Oh.
Yeah, we had WPIX and WWOR back then. Those were both our Mets and Yankees affiliates too. So that's how we got all that.
Were you getting the stuff out of Worcester too?
No. Okay. No. Back then our Fox affiliate was out of New York City. Our CBS was out of Binghamton, so there really wasn't regional wrestling there. Sure. But it was really just, aside from what, you know, the AWA you got on ESPN or anything like that, territorial-wise, indie-wise, we didn't really get any of that. It was all TBS, which we lost in the early 90s, so I had a big gap in the time where, you know, Watts was running WCW, and, like, basically from when Ron Simmons lost the world title until Nitro, we had a gap in WCW. I could only catch it when we'd visit my grandparents down in Delaware. I could see it, but that was the aftermath. Kept me up like every other kid of the late 80s, early 90s. Pre-internet, we had Bill Apter, who is like one of the three.
Were you a magazine guy too?
Yeah. And I'll tell you, like, meeting Bill Apter was like one of the three or four coolest things I think I've done in wrestling so far. And it was just, and it's Bill Apter. Like, he's just a little guy who, like, wrote some things. But I was like, I grew up with the Almanacs and the 500 and everything. And I know who Yoshi Kwan is because of the Apter bags. Like, it was just terrible. But you get the Memphis stuff, and, you know, you find out what that crazy Cactus Jack was doing. And it was just a really terrible time to be a WWF fan, but it was like a great time to be a wrestling fan.
Now, were you traveling to the city much to go to shows too, or were you staying pretty much in upstate New York when you started going to shows, like, of your own volition?
Didn't really get to the city for that. Indie-wise, we had it up here. Binghamton would still get Raw coming through town, and ECW would come through Arena.
Oh, yeah, you were they were in that age range where ECW was a thing, yeah.
Yep. So, and I lived in Pittsburgh for a little bit, and ECW was huge down there, and you also had Steel City, and just, like, decent little indie stuff. That would have been 2000, so ECW wasn't dead yet, but you certainly got sort of that crop of indie guys who were early ECW that didn't get picked up by WWF or WCW. So, you know, you'd get your Gino Carusos and your Rockin' Rebels and things like that out there. But
we've already mentioned, you know, Buck Zumhoff and Rockin' Rebel in this podcast, by the way. We've met our quota of terrible human beings who've done horrible crimes.
Real, that that's That's yeah. I mean, if you want to talk mid-2000s, we could talk about that other awful guy. But
yeah, let's hit bingo and hit Benoit. Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. I have fond memories of all these guys, but you know, Rebel was definitely a mainstay in the early part of my involvement in wrestling, just because any
you were
show
in the Northeast, he was on every show.
It's because in Pennsylvania, he was the guy with the license.
Oh yeah, oh totally.
So everybody was using Rebel's license, so he had to be there, and you know, wasn't always the coolest guy to me, but I was like the little nobody greenhorn, like. The shows in Scranton that we were doing early on in my tenure, I think they're some of my favorite. But aside from surprisingly, Just Incredible, really cool dude. But every other name that came through there was just I have nightmare stories about. So, okay,
let's, because you decided to become a wrestler and you called yourself the fifth worst wrestler in the world.
Yes.
If you want to bury someone, who is the biggest dickhead to you as a greenhorn wrestler?
Well, let's see. The guy I was most disappointed in, and it wasn't even directly to me. It was Greg Valentine.
Really?
I was maybe in the business like 3 months, and the show came up in New Jersey, and I was the newest dude, so of course, like, and I had a minivan for my family, so I got coerced into driving to New Jersey through Philadelphia, which I hate driving through Philadelphia, but they sold me because Greg Valentine was going to be there, and I'm like, you know, Greg Valentine, Mark, this is going to be great. I'm going to meet Greg Valentine. It's going to be cool. Nikolai Volkoff's going to be there. I'm probably going to have to see him naked, but I'm going to meet Greg Valentine. And yeah, Nikolai Volkoff, notorious for, he's just a locker room dude, but, or was, I'm sorry. It's not exactly secret in the business. Nikolai liked to sit around naked. But Greg Valentine's at this show, and they're doing sort of their whatever acronym it was in the back of a sports card store. Hall of Fame, and Greg Valentine's getting in with Doc Diamond and these guys who mean something down there, apparently. And Valentine does his signing before the show, does the gimmick in the beginning of the show, and leaves. Did not come into the back, did not say hi to the boys or anything. It was just like,
just
I drove 6 hours to meet Greg Valentine, and I never got within 50 feet of the man because he just couldn't be bothered with us. Meanwhile, like, Homicide shows up, not even booked, and is one of the coolest people you'll ever meet. And he had just done that bit with, like, the cage, and you know, the cage spot in TNA when they went to Monday nights.
Oh yeah,
it was like right after that, so he was in full on Barry TNA mood.
I met him Mania weekend. Wonderful. He talked with me. He didn't have to for like 20 minutes, just about like the shirt I was wearing. He was the nicest human being who ever lived.
I think he was there because some of his cousins were on the show, but just the coolest guy, and you know, he had the dirt, which was funny, and. Yeah, you know, he was just really, really, really cool guy, and it really made up a little bit for that Valentine thing. But the Valentine thing still stings me to this day.
So Homicide, cool guy, Greg Valentine, dickhead.
Yeah, and then Tony Atlas was really, really rude to me at first, and then we worked later that night, and he just liked the whole Green Brothers shtick. And at the end of the night, I don't want to do the voice, but everybody does the Tony Atlas voice when they repeat what he's saying. But he spent, I had the nerve to go out and have a cigarette before my match. And it was well before my match. And I came back through and he went up one side of me and down the other about how I'm never going to, Vince McMahon's never going to hire me. My wife and kids are going to leave me and I'm going to lose half my face and just. It was 40 minutes of me just taking this from a guy who did crack.
This is entirely factual.
Yes. So it's like, okay, so sorry about the cigarette. Sorry I didn't have anything more of your speed to share. But, you know, and I'm like, I'm just, yes, sir, nodding. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Like, being as respectful as can be. And then we worked later that night, and he just saw the stupid the comedy spots and everything we were doing. And just later he's like, oh, I love you guys. That was so much fun. So like now Tony and I are cool. I love him. He's actually going to come and do an Excite show for us in a couple of months, I think. And I look forward to it. So
you worked for how long?
Really only a couple of years as a wrestler, and very, very sporadically. Mostly I was a manager. But that didn't really, it didn't work out for a lot of other guys, just because we were talking before we got in the air. I'm indie big.
Sure.
Like right now I'm 6'1", 240 pounds. When I was working, I was probably 220, 225 and in decent shape. So, it worked with Rob Cook, Ivy Green, who is criminally undersized. It's a crime against nature that Rob's small, because he's one of the best workers I've ever been around. And he's my brother from another mother, but, he's very short and I'm very tall compared to him. So it made sense for him to, I wasn't the heater, but, I was just as silly as he was. So we were playing brothers anyway, but, when other guys started coming along, and I'm still bigger than all of them, it was like, all right, I need to.
I love big guy, little guy tag teams. Anyways, that's so great.
Yeah, and we didn't even get the good kind. Like, we were worse than Enzo and Cass.
Oh dear. Like, let's not say things we can't take back.
Yeah, I mean, I said fifth worst ever, and Enzo was in one of the illustrious four. He might be the sixth. We're getting close.
You know.
Oh, you haven't met some of the old. 2010, 2011 upstate indie guys.
Oh, fair. And I've seen some Tennessee indie workers too, and some Georgia indie workers. So, all right, that's fair.
Yeah.
So you decided to get out of the business working, but you decided to get involved with Excite on an administrative level, and that's kind of where you're at now. Talk about where you're at now, and talk about Excite, because I'm, for lack of a better word, excited about what you guys are doing.
Awesome. Well, thanks. Excite formed about 7-8 years ago now, and it's really awful that I don't know that off the top of my head. Out of sort of the ashes of a couple of other organizations that came through. First company that I was working with out of Binghamton was an extension of Gino Caruso's ECPW that would come up and work upstate in Binghamton and Cortland and towards Oneonta. Around about 2010, the ECPW upstate crew sort of split off and went with this this guy, Fred Spencer, who started a company called 3DW. I don't remember what the D's stand for, but that's when I was doing most of my wrestling, was back when 3DW was around. Yeah. Fred got in over his head, as most guys who come in
99% of indie promotions.
A ruder person would like to call him a money mark. I think Fred was a great guy who really loved the business and just didn't realize how much went into putting on a show. So that's when John Mushok came on, and Johnny had been involved with 2CW, which I'm not sure if you're familiar with 2CW up here.
I've heard of it. I've seen some of the cards. They look fantastic.
That 2CW was great. I was never... even I was barely good enough to buy a ticket for 2CW, let alone work one of their shows. But we used a lot of the same sort of middle of the card guys. But 2CW was great, and Johnny was doing production for 2CW. He decided to come in and help Fred out, sort of in the role that I'm doing now, even. But John had a lot of great booking connections. And eventually it just went from 3DW, became Excite Wrestling, and we've been going ever since then. Johnny wants to be our area's version of the Super Indie, so we've had, when we started talking the other day, I just started trying to jot down everybody who's come through for us as Excite Wrestling, and between WWE and Impact and Ring of Honor and now AEW, and we're up to 97-ish names, and I know I'm forgetting things.
Of guys who've been on TV.
Yeah, TV, awesome. or decent-sized indie names that never really got signed. Like, a lot of people who are, like, into indie wrestling, at least in our part of the country, will know, like, Kikoa, the Flying Hawaiian. He did some TV jobs for people, but up here, he's been sort of a mainstay for the last 10 years, so I counted him in there. because he did make a SmackDown appearance or something like that.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, just tonight I was watching NXT before we started talking, and two Excite guys opened up NXT tonight, Drew Gulak and Lio Rush.
Oh, really? They've been through.
Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, I think Luke Harper, or up here, because he's from our area, Brody Lee, I think his last indie booking was with us. We did Johnny Gargano and Adam Cole
really?
5 years ago.
Really?
We did that in 2013.
Oh, man.
Like, yeah, we've had Lio Rush. I think it was either Gulak or Ciampa was under WWE contract the last time they came through here. We had Finley when he was on that brief Miz-induced hiatus. Like, we've had just... I've got NXT on in the background, and I just saw Keith Lee on there. We had Keith Lee. We've had Jeff Cobb. We've had any number of, you know, names. And now that I'm getting more into the administrative end, and I'm seeing what's going into the booking and stuff, and I got to figure out how we're going to afford to pay for people for flights and things like that. Like, I'm seeing all these guys, like, you put me onto Warhorse. Man, I'd love to work with that guy.
Oh, he's great.
Chris Bay is blowing up all over wrestling Twitter right now.
He got a GCW booking. He's killing it.
Yeah. He's out west, though. I'm like, oh, man, how can I get him out here? Like, it'd be simple for me to just, like, say, hey, I'm going to pay for your flight, and we're going to give you X amount of dollars, and then, you know, put you back on a flight to Vegas or wherever you're from.
So you're not the indie that's like, we're going to get an old name, and we're going to run a couple of the super indie. You're basically trying to be, like... Are you modeling after PWG? Or are you modeling after what's your model basically?
I think that's a great question, and I'm very new to my position here. Mm-hmm. So, I know Excite's done some whatever iteration. I think it's independentwrestling.tv now. Like, I know we've done Powerbomb and everything like that. Like, we've done
used to be Powerbomb, now it's IWTV. Yeah,
and we've done Twitch, and we've done all these things. And to me now, where I'm at with our new venue, which I think I breezed right through. We've got a new venue that's our permanent venue. We're going to be there all the time. So now I know how many seats I have to fill every month. And with that, I feel like the PWG model is great because you can bring people in, but you can also still bring in that name. In February, we're bringing in the Rock and Roll Express.
It's amazing.
And that was a booking before they won their NWA Tag Team Championships, by the way.
Bonus.
I was like, just coming out of their New Japan booking, I was like, man, I really want to do Ricky and Robert. Let's do it. So we booked them for February. So we are going to bring in
some
classic names. I we haven't released that yet.
Fair,
so
fair.
I don't know if we're going to bring in another team or if we're going to give some of our kids, our students, or our established names a chance to get in there. And you know, the only way that our students and our local workers are going to get better are working with people who are better. And who's better at tag team wrestling than Ricky and Robert?
Literally no one.
Yeah, I mean,
the best tag team in history.
Yeah, I was a heel guy, so you know, well, that express. But so, but yes, they're very good. And they're awesome, and I'm excited for it. But we're also, you know, we're bringing in Ron Simmons for our grand opening here in November.
That's awesome.
Which is thrilling for me because it's Ron fucking Simmons. Like, I'm stoked. Even before he was Farouk and APA and damn, it was Ron Simmons. He power slammed Vader. It was awesome. So, like,
fourth in the All-American rankings in 1987.
1981.
I'm sorry. 1981. Yeah.
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 Yep. Yep. The local bar here, sidetrack, had a poster of the 1981 Heisman candidate class. And if you can ever get a look at Jim McMahon from back then,
who went to BYU, like, by the way.
Yes.
Let's just let that soak in for a second.
Yep. He looks like Napoleon Dynamite. So it was a big kick for us as wrestling fans being right there. We'd like, that's where we'd hang out at the bar, right by the Ron Simmons poster.
Amazing.
So I'd call it. So, like, I'm still trying to get my hands on that poster because the bar had changed hands. And being a musician, I've, like, you know, been in touch with every club owner in our region. So I'm like, every time I see the guy, I'm like, hey, do you still have that Heisman poster? I really want it. And now I really, really want it. So, yeah. So going back to your question about, like, what the model is, PWG for sure, just because, like, how successful are they? They have the plan where they have X amount of seats, and they sell out every time they go on sale. I want to do that. I want to know that I've got 350, 450, whatever our capacity ends up being once our production is set up. So we're still a work in progress there. But I'm thinking we're going to be close to 400 to 450. And I want to be able to sell that out every month. So I know what my budget is. I know what my talent budget is. I know what my overhead is. I know what my insurance is, our bonding, ambulance cost in New York. That's killing independent wrestling in New York right now, is we have to have an ambulance on site.
Because you have the commission.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And I tell you, it's depending on where
brother.
You are. No. No, it's not like that in Pennsylvania. And we're 5 minutes from Pennsylvania in Elmira.
Oh,
so, you know, but that also means that they can run the famous Jim Cornette Outlaw Mud Show. Like, they don't. I want people to come to work for us because they know, listen, we're going to run a show that's safe for families.
Yeah.
Without being G-rated, it's still a safe environment for families where, you know, if there is alcohol consumption, it's a little more controlled than the rowdy American Legion that we've been in. And I love the Legion, but man, $2 beers at a Legion gets a crowd to not go the way you want it to sometimes.
Oh, I've been at some of those shows, brother.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I want to be somewhere in between. Like, you got to bring in the name for the casual fan, mm-hmm. but we also want to appeal to the hardcores and bring in these hot rising names like we always have. I mean, we managed to get Ricochet in here, and man, like, it was just the coolest thing, but it wasn't one of our best attended shows just because he had been doing the New Japan stuff. So the hardcores were there, and it was like, holy shit, Ricochet's here. And then the other guys are like, who's that skinny dude? And you can't even say.
Well, you got to know your audience too. Some, you know, in some areas of the country, some guys might get over more than others. And some, you know, some audiences, you know, in areas of, you know, in Georgia, certain guys sell more than others. In Tennessee, certain guys sell more than others. Nashville crowds are entirely different than Atlanta crowds that I've learned. And,
right.
You know, and it's just, some in Alabama crowds are entirely different than Nashville and Atlanta crowds. So it's, I mean, it's just from what I'm learning down here, you know? So it's, I mean, and it's trial by error.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, hopefully I'm good at my job.
Yeah.
Well,
talk about the venue too, because you told me a little bit about the venue and it's really unique.
Okay. Yeah. We've called it the X because everything has to have an X in Excite Wrestling because, you know, we're all kids of the 80s and 90s
yeah, of course,
where everything
yeah.
was extreme. And yeah, you know, we're showing our age there. We are now located in the Oakdale Mall in Johnson City, New York, which is like a suburb of Binghamton. We got ourselves a 6,000 square foot former storefront. It used to be a Rue 21, so I'm positive I bought my daughter's jeans there at least once over the years. 6,000 square foot worth of room for our ring and our school. We're going to be able to set up the infrastructure to not only host our live events, but record if we want to go the streaming route, which, you know, that's an argument we're having internally. I'd rather not stream and try to get people to come in and make showing up for the show and seeing it live that priority, become a destination.
Sure.
Like, you just went to SCI. Like, I've been
hearing about this for the last... They actually streamed this year. So.
But I mean, like, for the last few years, to me, that was like destination because mm-hmm. it wasn't something that, you know, I hear everybody on PTBN just rave about this tournament the last few years, and I'm like, man, like, that would have been cool. I'd love to be able to go there if I wasn't, like...
I'm the host with the most there, and you're more than welcome to come down.
Now that I can write it off, I can probably justify the trip. So there are benefits to being in my position.
This
now.
Is true.
Everything's
this
a write-off.
Is true. This is true.
But, you know, like, I want Excite to be a destination venue, especially if we're going to be bringing in great talent. On the back end, I also understand that, you know, streaming is sort of what everybody else is doing right now, from apparently Scenic City now to AIW and Black Label Pro, and everybody's doing it. So do we have to stay on that path to remain relevant in our marketplace? I don't have the answer to that right now, but
sure.
I'm actively learning. So we're going to be hosting here in the mall, which is a great opportunity
wrestling
for us.
In a mall. So cool.
Yep.
So
yeah. Our
cool.
first show in the Oakdale Mall is aptly titled the Oakdale Brawl because we're not creative. It's going to be November 2nd at, doors open for the Ron Simmons meet and greet at 5. I think our showtime is going to be 6:30, which in upstate booking would say like 7:30. But you know, we actually, now that the ambulance thing has become an issue, shows are starting on time because you got to pay the ambulance by the hour. So so we're going to stick to that. I'm excited because if I had this venue growing up when I was 13, 14 years old and I was going to the mall, my parents could drop me off at the mall and I could take my $15, $20 and go to see a wrestling show and they could pick me up just like if I was going to a movie.
Oh, totally. I lived at the mall as a teenager.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I'm jealous.
It's not the same as it was when we were growing up, but it's a safe place. Whereas going back to our Legion, loved the Legion, but it was in a not so great part of town with a bar. And I wouldn't have dropped my kids off there. But now 13, 14, 15, 16 year old guys and girls can just go to the mall and hopefully they'll see our posters and want to come. And, you know, that'd be great. We're opening ourselves up to a whole new audience that way. It's also easy to get to off the highway. It's right off Interstate 86. So you get off 86 and you're right there. You don't have to drive through town and worry about traffic lights and one-way streets or anything like that. You just go to the mall. So we're close to the airport. It's the opportunities for us here in this new venue are really endless. We opened our school back up on Sunday. That's been great. We got great new interest because of the visibility that the community's given us. It's been kind of a big deal on the, you know, local news and the newspapers and the radio stations and things like that down there. So we got first crop. I was there first day. Since it's an hour away from me, I'm not there every day for training, especially not being an office guy.
Yeah.
But still, it was exciting for me to see 5 new faces, which wasn't too shabby. And actually,
not bad for a class. Yeah.
No, especially not with the 7 existing that made it that day. And we're missing maybe 5-6 of our kids that day, or the local guys who come in and work out in our ring. So it ended up being a really great success, and I got so excited that I actually got my old badass in the ring and rolled around for a while. And I'll tell you, like,
did you learn your lesson?
No, I'm a little sore, but like we used to use ropes, and now they're using cable. And boy, do I remember now why I hate cables. I want the ropes. Like I don't have the bruising. Oh, I just see Isaiah Scott, Shane Strickland, Excite guy.
Cool.
Yeah, we're all over the place. I'm sure if I flipped over to AEW right now, I'd be seeing at least one of our guys on there.
It's Savar and Dustin and Jericho right now. Yeah,
I'm behind, but you know, we brought Sonny Kiss in last year. We brought Chuck Taylor's been there quite a few times.
They just did a vignette for Chuck and Trent. Yeah.
Yep, we had Chuck Taylor in quite a bit for a while.
Chuck's great.
For some reason, I like Chuck. For some reason, we never got Trent in, which really surprises me because I think he's from upstate.
No.
So I don't know how we ever missed the boat on that, but I'm pretty sure Roppongi Vice or something got in the way of that.
Busy guy. Very busy guy. So let's plug the social media. If people want to buy tickets, if people want to go to the show, you're not streaming at the moment, right? Are you on IWTV right now?
I believe we have a couple of shows that have been on there.
But you're not streaming live.
As far as I know, we are not streaming, but I could.
But you can find some of the old shows archived on there.
Yep.
If you guys want to check them out.
We are on Twitch. You can see a little bit of our stuff on YouTube.
Cool.
You can check out excitewrestling.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter. There's 2 accounts. There's just Excite Wrestling, which is Johnny, the owner, and then I have been pretty active on this Twitter thing lately now myself at Excite Office. That's going to get you to me, and you'll be able to find out what 3-month-old podcast I'm listening to that day or anything like that. I'm perpetually
behind on everything. The best way to see it is to go live to the show.
Yes, absolutely, and we've not put out a stinker yet, so we're not ready to start.
Fantastic. And you got Ron Simmons, Rock and Roll Express. What other matches do you have coming up for this show?
Announced, I believe we're doing Joe Gacy versus Stockade versus Sean Carr, who is the Binghamton hometown hero.
Gacy's great.
Yeah, Gacy's wonderful. He's been he was our first X-Site champion. We've used him almost every show. He's fantastic. That's really how we got a lot of the other like higher name CZWE kind of indie guys coming through is just through Joe Gacy. He's been amazing to us, and I know we're going to lose him. I know we're going to lose him at some point. I just hope it's not November 3rd. So, and Sean Carr is the 2017 ECWA Super 8 champion.
Cool.
Local Binghamton guy. He's the head trainer at our school. He's fantastic. He broke in about 6 months to a year before I did, and he is everything in the ring that I never was. He's athletic and smart and entertaining and just works great. And Stockade is he came to us from CZW as well, but he's the Deathmatch Asgardian, and he's just rough and tumble as it gets. He's a member of the Dying Breed, who is also our tag team champions right now, Axel Lennox and Rob Cook. The Dying Breed, I think we may be seeing them with Coast to Coast from Ring of Honor.
Oh, cool.
I could be wrong on that, because they just got the titles from Coast to Coast at our last show, so I don't know if we're doing the rematch just yet. But yeah, it's I'm so deep in insurance paperwork and bonding,
fair.
And now I'm trying to
fair. I tell you, you'll see a hell of a show. You'll see a hell of a show.
Yeah, it's gonna. Whether you're live or you see it on a DVD or if we're streaming, you know, you're going to enjoy the hell out of it. I wouldn't be doing this if I wasn't a fan of what we were doing. And I'm proud as hell to be a part of X-Site. And I really can't wait for we're locked in this lease for at least a year. So I got a year's worth of shows to put together, and hopefully I do a decent job.
Fantastic. Sean, thank you so much. Thanks for coming on the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, Ben. It's been truly my pleasure.
Guilty of this, you should know this. I broke down and wrote you back before you had a chance to forget, forgotten. I am moving past this, giving notice. I have to go. Yes, I know the feeling. Know you're leaving.
Outside, everybody's gonna be all loud and shit. But
sorry, okay. I'm here with the independent wrestling television champion,
IWTV
champion, Jake Parnell.
No. Say Warhorse.
Warhorse. I'm
all
sorry.
Caps.
All caps. Warhorse.
Say it. Yell it. You gotta yell it.
Warhorse.
Warhorse. That's how you say it.
I'm here with Warhorse.
Warhorse.
Sorry, I knew you back when.
Yeah, you knew me back when, but now it's just Warhorse.
Just Warhorse.
Yeah, Jake Parnell's my government name.
The government name, slave name.
Yep.
Warhorse, what does this title mean to you?
This means everything to me. This is in my opinion, this is the beacon of what independent professional wrestling should be. For the longest time, there was never a championship that declared who the best wrestler on the indies was, and now there is. There's so many different companies with their own different titles, but this title's been defended across numerous companies like Beyond Wrestling, Black Label Pro, Here It's Up, First Wrestling, Action Wrestling. It gets defended everywhere because it is the one independent wrestling championship.
Talk about your struggle getting to this point.
Oh,
because
sucked.
You've been busting your ass.
Yeah.
You've been busting your ass for years. I've seen you since you were a Viking.
Yep.
And a baby Viking, in fact.
Used to be a little Viking, and then Vikings split up. After that, it just took a lot of figuring out who the hell I was, mm-hmm. And now it seems like I'm on the right path because I just listen to more heavy metal and get more pissed off.
You listen to a lot of heavy metal.
Yeah, but no, I had a bunch of losses going into the TurboGrafx 16 tournament, so I knew it was do or die, and I ended up making it to the final round, beating Eric Stevens and winning the Independent Wrestling Championship. Then defending it on a beach the next day.
That was wild. That was absolutely
Stinger
wild.
Stinger style.
You seem to have really found yourself on social media. With your promos, with your inspirational speeches, with your absolutely just killing it. Talk about your social media footprint.
So as far as like the motivational speeches, I'm just saying stuff that I wish somebody would have said to me when I was 16, because I had issues and things like that. And I know other people have issues, and I'm not putting those messages out in the world for my own gain. I'm putting them out there because maybe somebody needs to hear them, and turns out a lot more people than I realize need to hear them. So you can expect more motivational stuff in the future. I guess I'm the heavy metal Mr. Rogers of wrestling now. But other than that, the other promos are just things that I can put out during the week that entertain people. And I feel like Warhorse itself is a pretty easy to get into brand, and so far so good.
Talk about Warhorse as opposed to Jake.
Well, Jake likes to sit on his couch, but Warhorse likes to sit in the gym. Jake likes to listen to heavy metal, but Warhorse loves to listen to heavy metal. Jake will sit in a car for 9 hours waiting to get to a show, but Warhorse gets to actually wrestle on the show. So I guess those are the key differences, but Warhorse is the indie wrestling champion, and Jake is the guy that got him there.
Fair. Favorite bands to listen to?
Ooh, man, I've been listening to a lot of King Diamond lately. I love classic metal. Like,
okay,
I don't listen to a lot of new stuff.
Nothing after 1988?
I mean, maybe 93.
Fair.
But I'll listen to death a lot if I'm in a death metal mood. I'll listen to fucking Venom. Venom's like one of my go-tos. They actually inspired a lot of my look and whatnot. Not so much the face paint, but just like the studs and leather and like, you know, dungeon-y type stuff. I don't want to say Satan, because Warhorse isn't a satanic gimmick, but they're a very satanic band.
Fair, yeah.
But, yeah, Venom, King Diamond, Death. I love Megadeth. I've loved Megadeth since I was in high school. So, things of that nature.
Who are your wrestling influences?
Wrestling influences? Road Warriors. Yeah, I get a lot of Ultimate Warrior comparisons, but I don't do half the steroids, because I don't do any steroids. So it's,
but you have... Your body has gotten a lot better... Like, not better, but like... You definitely put a lot of effort into your look.
I've trimmed down from going into the match against Jeremy Wyatt at St. Louis Anarchy. I trimmed down, I think, 2 belt sizes in 3 weeks, and I got really skinny and lean, but now I'm starting to actually fill back out and bulk up, so that's going to be the next couple months, is trying to stay lean enough but get bigger in the shoulders and chest. That's really my goal.
Now, I've seen you at St. Louis Anarchy, and you're a St. Louis guy. Talk about what Anarchy means to you, because you're a god there. You're a god everywhere you go, and the response you get from a crowd is unbelievable. But St. Louis really seems to be, I mean, you could run for fucking mayor there, dude.
I might. You never know.
you and Gary especially. But talk about what Anarchy means to you.
So Anarchy was, some people may not be aware of this, Anarchy was gone for a year, and during that time was whenever me and Gary started our feud. And we've been beating each other's ass all over the country since then. But it meant a lot to St. Louis fans that, as much as I hate Gary, me and Gary like continued the whole St. Louis Anarchy spirit. And then whenever it came back, we main evented the
including ripping your face off.
Including ripping my face off, which I'll never forgive him for. But we carried the torch as far as Anarchy goes. And then whenever it came back, I was a shoe-in for one of the top guys in the area. And it just so happened that the Anarchy fans accepted me as much as they accepted Gary and Davey Vega and Matt Fitchett. Because those are the three Anarchy guys, but then all of a sudden I somehow got into the fourth slot. So
the
now
four pillars.
Yeah, we're the four pillars of St. Louis wrestling is what people like to call us. And which is weird because I've never wrestled the other two. But I've wrestled Gary enough for everyone, so just to be fair.
Now, the response you get from a crowd... like I said, SCI, the crowd pop was amazing. St. Louis, the crowd pop is amazing. Everywhere you walk into, SUP, the crowd pop is amazing. You elicit a response that is just visceral. What does that mean to you? To just, people just chanting Warhorse?
It means everything. It's like... I guess as close as I'm ever going to get to a Road Warrior pop, which means a lot to me because I love the Road Warriors.
You feel like a rock star?
Kind of. It's exciting whenever that many people all at once start chanting your name, and it's not something that happens for everyone. I guess it happens for, like, Nick Gage, and it'll happen for Gary in St. Louis and some other places, but as far as what I've been able to do, it seems like everywhere is starting to do the Warhorse chant. So that means everything to me.
One of those places you got that pop to was at the show on WrestleMania weekend where you main evented.
Yep.
You got to main event a WrestleMania weekend show. What was that meaning to you?
It was it wasn't just main eventing a WrestleMania weekend show. It was the first show of WrestleMania weekend. So luckily we got to leave a good taste in everybody's mouth, and it seemed like everyone loved the match, except for me. I lost, but
you also destroyed the ring and destroyed everything.
Destroyed the ring, destroyed a bunch of doors and chairs and stuff. But whenever everybody was making their top 10 Mania weekend lists, it was like NXT and Ring of Honor and WWE, and then you'd see Warhorse versus Gary, and that meant a lot to me that we were still in the contention for match of the weekend.
You're up top of mine too. And I probably saw 60 matches that weekend. You guys were top of my list.
Damn, that's pretty damn good.
It was awesome.
I guess.
It was real cool.
A lot of good
it
shit
was,
happened.
It was
that
real
weekend.
Cool. It was real cool. From here, you're defending your belt. Where do you see yourself going forward?
I don't know, because I feel like if I don't keep my head in the game, I could lose this title at any minute. But next weekend, well, after, if I defend it against Matt Justice tonight, I have a defense against Gary next Sunday. I have to defend it against Orange Cassidy next Saturday. His nameplate's still on the title, so it's a matter of I can't call myself champion until his name is off this belt, in my opinion. Whether he's going to AEW or not, his name needs to be off this belt, and I need to be the one to take it off. But I got those two matches next weekend. I have stuff booked up to December, and if I don't retain the title, then that stuff doesn't happen. So it's a matter of sink or swim at this point.
Warhorse, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Shay, we talked to you a few months ago, but how have things been the last couple months? Have you been killing it in the DC area?
Man, so at least in my world, I feel like there's always been like a slot to be filled in DC. That whole, if you want to call it DMV, I call it the Grapital region.
Grapital region.
And so since it's there, I figured, oh, who's going to take this seat? I'll take it. So I'm in the process of making that my own. And it's going pretty good. It's going pretty well. So for me, it's like, you know, for those who think they want to hang in the DC area, if you need to have a chance to hang in the DMV, come find me. Come find out. Let's see what happens. Don't be surprised when I send you back home. Like, bring your boys with you. Bring your people so they can watch you get stomped out on the front lawn. But no, man, things have been going good, man. Mm-hmm. Tonight was fun. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to spread my wings a little bit.
You worked Manders tonight.
Son, that was, like you said, that was two refrigerators. Just, and somebody told me, like, yo, how's Fozzie get hit by Manders? I'm like, get imagine getting hit by a truck that's on top of other trucks. That's or getting hit by an elevator filled with other elevators. And that's what it feels like, man. But it was fun. It was good, man. It was first in a long time I've been nervous about something in a good way. But it was awesome. But at the same time, man, this is what I came for. I got a chance to really, like I said, spread my wings a little bit, show some stuff that no one's really seen before.
You're still working in the South, but you're also staying in the DMV.
Yes. So it's now becoming where I'm a byproduct of the South. That's welcoming into the DMV.
Yeah.
And it's great. I love the fact that I get a chance to be out there and show the DMV something that they haven't seen before. And they're accepting of it.
One group you're really killing is Primetime Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's great. Because DC,
I had Gator on the podcast.
That's my guy.
Yeah.
Gary's my guy. Oh, like I said, the Washington, D.C. in general hasn't had independent wrestling in about 10 years.
Yeah.
Plus, something like that. So they're starred for it. Mm-hmm. So now that you give it to them, and not too much you gave it to them, but now this quality stuff, which is the key word, quality stuff, like it speaks for itself. They already sold out 3 shows. If Gator's listening, you're welcome. And they're already working towards a 4th already. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it just shows that DC is a viable area that wants wrestling. Give them quality stuff. And they'll come in droves. And it's been great. I've been getting a very good reception, despite the fact that I might not be the most savior of characters. But still, it's been pretty good. And so far, man, I enjoy it. I enjoy it. So it's been fun.
You've been training the Ring of Honor school as well.
Yeah, I'm there about like 3 days a week. I picked up rugby.
You picked up rugby?
I just picked it up.
Dear Lord, I could see you doing rugby.
Dude, the people I play with hate it. Because I just run them over. But it's a new avenue for me to kind of stretch my legs a little bit. It's a different way of cardio.
Sure.
All that good stuff. It's nothing I'm like trying to like, you know, make another career change out of, but at the same time it's something different, something else I get to learn.
And
so
you become more cut, your body's made a change.
Oh, yeah. Boy, yeah, if I see one more chicken. I'm gonna hurt somebody, man. I just want to burger in the worst way. But no, man, it's all been good, man. It's all been good. I've been seeing the effects. I've been seeing the effects of everything, and it's been positive, and some of the feedback I've been getting is really positive. So this is one of the things, man, where it's like, okay, this is working, let's keep going, let's see how far we can go, and then that's it.
Cool. O'Shea, thank you so much, man.
Dude, thank you, man.
Here with Tyler Matrix. Tyler, you trained in OVW, right?
That's right.
Tell me about training in the OVW school, because that's a bit of a different path than a lot of people go.
Yeah, well, you know, I originally lived in Decatur, Alabama, and I moved up there based just what I saw online, and that's where I started training with the late Matt Capitelli, and he just kind of took us through, like, the basics and everything move-wise, how to structure matches, just everything that you would need to know to start out. I always felt like that was the best experience I could have asked for as far as training. And then we moved on to Rip Rogers, which was more the same, more different drills and everything. But I'm thankful for my time there just because it really did give me, like, the skills to be able to do things in the ring, maybe on the fly and stuff like that, and prepare me for wrestling and everything.
Matt was really a well-loved guy from what I heard.
Matt was the man. I can't even begin to express how thankful I am to have met him and have him be a part of my life.
Was he sick when you were training with him too?
So Matt, I mean, it was already his career had been over for a while, but he started to get sick closer to maybe a year after I was outside of his class, a year to maybe 2 years. And he had all these, you know, wires hooked up to his head.
Oh, jeez.
But he was still coming and putting in the time to make sure that the next guys up in his class were getting the proper training they deserved.
Now, Rip Rogers is an old school guy.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about how old school he was and how he differs from a lot of the newer guys that you deal with, because he's the definition of old school from reading his Twitter and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you can probably guess how well we got along, judging by his Twitter and probably some of the matches that go on nowadays that I myself like to be a part of. You know, leg slaps, dives, all that mm-hmm. stuff. Those are all the things that I saw working for plenty of other guys getting over in matches. Rip just didn't agree. But, I mean, he's still, regardless of any of that, he's still a great mind in the business.
Who else was training there when you were training there?
Worker-wise?
Yeah.
At the time, when I first started Matt's, Dan Matha in NXT.
Okay.
He just shipped off for NXT maybe 2 weeks after I'd been there. At the time, there were still guys like mainstays in OVW for a while, like Chris Silvio, okay. Adam Revolver, Eddie Diamond. And besides that, I've met plenty of guys through there. It's the first place I met Brian Pillman Jr. Mm-hmm. during his time. Besides that, it's Corey Storm, who's also on the indies at the moment. It's where I actually met the majority of the guys that I hit the road with, like Kevin Giza, Logan James, Adam Slade, Luke Gibson. That's, if anything, OVW helped start that carload for us.
Now, you decided to... Did you decide to start your career up there, or did you decide to come back to Alabama from there and kind of start your career? Because I've known you in the South,
mm-hmm.
and you've been killing it down here.
Well, at the time, like I said, what got me back into wrestling was I was watching TV when I was still living in Alabama, and I just, career-wise, didn't have anything that really interested me. And so I saw, like, Punk on TV, mm-hmm. wrestling on Raw at the time. I just, you know.
Because you're a younger guy.
Yeah, yeah.
How old are you?
It was, I'm 26.
Jeez,
now.
I hate you.
It was like, I think Punk versus The Shield. So then I start looking to see, like, you know, all the guys that are on TV right now. Punk, Orton, Cena at the time, mm-hmm. Lesnar, like, where did they train? And that's what got me into it, because at the time, I'll be honest, I had no knowledge of indie wrestling whatsoever. It was WWE and TNA. So that's what prompted me to move up to Louisville from there.
Mm-hmm. Now, you really started to establish yourself in the South. Was New South really where you got yourself started, or did you find other places in Alabama? Because I've gotten you to know you through New South,
mm-hmm.
and goddamn, you have a rooting section there. but talk about kind of how you established yourself in the South.
Yeah, I actually, the funny thing about New South was I talked about, you know, moving up to OVW in training because there was nowhere that I knew of to train in the South to get started. So after I'd been up in Louisville for 2 years, I got a message from Dump Sanders, New South, and asking if I really was from Decatur, Alabama, because unknown to me, New South has been running 10 minutes from where I grew up my entire life, and I just had no idea. But from there, I just came down, and it was the moment I set foot in the ring down there in Decatur, it was like, this is like a home away from home, even though it's back home. So just from there, the ball has really been rolling for me in New South.
And the thing I noticed for you in New South is 40 members of your family show up every time you wrestle. Has to be an advantage.
Yeah, I guess you could say I have the home field advantage from time to time.
And they made you the champion after a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the weight of carrying that belt in front of all your family members and the weight of carrying the main events in front of all your family members.
Now you talk about the weight of that belt. Are we talking figuratively or literally?
Literally. Oh, we got Marco Stunt showing up here.
Hey, how's it going?
TV star Marco Stunt.
Mouse has it.
Where's he at?
Huh?
Where? Where's Mouse? Why are you doing that?
We're recording.
Oh, I am so sorry.
And if that doesn't get cut, you know.
It's all good.
Cole
it's all
Radrick,
good.
We really hate that.
Cole game. Radrick just showed up. Yep.
Yeah. I enjoyed it because it put a lot of pressure on me to perform. Because, you know, sometimes those nerves, you can kind of work those out. But honestly, getting the opportunity to perform, not in front of like my mom and my dad who they've traveled to see me, but to be able to do that in front of people like my uncle, for example, who was like my role model growing up, to be able to perform in front of him and family and friends that, you know, all they know of is, you know, well, Tyler moved up to Louisville and he's a wrestler now. But to show them like the stuff I've been able to work on and put together over the past couple of years, it was a lot of pressure, but I welcomed it.
Now, where else have you been establishing yourself? And talk about when you don't have that home field advantage.
Well, actually, this past weekend, there was no home field advantage for myself and my tag partner, Logan James. When Pro Wrestling Revolver came to Indiana this past summer, we got a spot on there, and from there we've kind of earned our way up to making a debut at their Iowa show this past Saturday. And no home field advantage because we're coming out against Jason Cade and Rich Swan, the crew. And we've got, you know, two guys walking out to Jobber Chance and Who Are You Chance. But, I mean, we welcome it. By the end of the match, we were having This Is Awesome and Please Come Back. So I'll take that any day of the week.
Now, you're a younger wrestler in the business. Talk about paying your dues a little bit. Do you still feel like you're paying your dues?
Absolutely. I feel like, in a sense, you never stop paying your dues. The second you feel like you have to, that can also be the same second that opportunities stop coming your way.
Now, you're here at Southern Underground Pro. This is kind of a new place for you. This is a new area for you. Do you see Tennessee as an area where you're kind of opening up a little bit?
I definitely see that possibility. I got to be a small part of Southern Underground Pro maybe about 2 years back. I had a pair of matches, and I haven't been back since, but I would definitely Kerry Offal's program, Crux Wrestling. I feel like there's plenty of opportunities in the scenic city. Lots of places to earn a spot on, and I welcome the challenge.
What are your goals 1 year, 2 year, 5 years from now?
5 years, I definitely like a spot on TV somewhere. That's always been the goal. Granted, I'm always going to be happy being an independent wrestler, but at the end of the day, I do think you definitely want to be able to get on television program and be able to showcase yourself on a national level. And again, that's more eyes, more pressure. And I just want to take this thing as far as I can.
Tyler, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
I am here with the craziest bastards in independent wrestling.
What we got now?
The guys who will do literally anything in a ring. And Jay Rose, who will also do literally anything in a ring.
The people who do literally anything in a ring. And the other one.
And the other one, who will say literally anything in a ring.
Yeah, he would.
Basically.
IFHY, guys, welcome to the show. Thank you all so much for coming on.
I appreciate being here.
Howdy.
Howdy. Jonathan Wolf, Sean Kemp, and Jay Rose. Thank you all for coming on. You guys have a match today called a Yeet Fest. What the fuck is a Yeet Fest?
It's what I do to myself every day. I wake up and we just lost Jay Rose. He just got yeeted. Back into the building.
He just got yeeted back in the building. I still got Sean Kemp and Jonathan Wolf back in here. So, what the fuck is a Yeet Fest, boys?
Damn.
You ever just throw yourself wildly on your bed? Yeah, imagine that, but out of a ring or onto a sack of potatoes.
Or anything you can find at this point.
Yeah, just throw yourself on it, and that's what a Yeet Fest is.
Does this describe your wrestling style, really?
Oh no.
Well, if you put it under the umbrella of acid graps, then maybe.
What is acid graps?
Man.
Now you're in uncharted territory.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, don't ask a question for the answer you don't want.
Two step forward, and I just took six back.
Yeah.
How would you describe what your style is? Because you guys are... I mean, acid graps might be a good way to describe your style, because you guys might be wrestling on acid, frankly.
When he does the yeeting, probably.
Yeah, when he does the
yeeting. That's all fueled by...
We gotta get that Jeff thing going. Yeah. Start getting the...
Because John, frankly, doesn't give a shit about his body or his well-being.
Oh, 100% don't, yeah.
And Sean is literally a dog.
Yeah, I gotta preserve mine so when he dies.
Yeah,
I
when John might die and Sean is not a human.
Yeah.
So it makes for an interesting tag team. How do you come up with this shit?
You ever played the SmackDown vs. Raw 2009, and then you hit create a finisher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to everything we do in the ring.
Yeah, I just do that. I just create my own finish on the video game and implement it and try it.
Yeah.
Jerez, what input do you have? Do you have any input in the crazy shit they do in the ring, or do you just let the boys cook?
I say a lot of stuff, and they'd be like, yeah, I hear you, and then don't do any of it. But it obviously works. We get wins. We get brought back as recently, so people tend to enjoy us. They really don't need my input, but I'm going to give it to them anyway, so that's just the way I function.
Jerez, you're responsible. One thing I'm really impressed with is the video content that you make for the boys. What do you have a lot of training in that regard, or is it just shit you come up with on the fly?
I taught him everything he knows.
Okay, sure.
Went to IT school, 6 years, Harvard.
What IT school? You went to Harvard?
ITT Tech.
To Harvard.
ITT yeah. Tech. Yeah.
Where'd you stay? Where'd you stay in Harvard? What?
Dorm 62.
Dorm 62.
How about them apples?
Yeah. Washington stayed there.
I am a film school dropout.
Okay.
So. I now have my associate's degree in business administration, so if anybody out there wants to give me a job, you know, I'm out
he
here.
He was in Cambridge.
You just literally looked up Cambridge.
No, I didn't. No, you can't prove it.
Show me the video evidence
right now.
Yeah, Sean just literally looked up the name of the town on his phone that Harvard was in.
You've never heard of Calvin Cambridge?
Calvin Cambridge?
Like Mike? Like Mike?
The best
you went to Harvard with the cat from Like Mike. Word.
They worry about where I went.
Word. Yeah.
He went
to Harvard with 2002 Bow Wow.
Go back to you. Pop out of the film school. Ike finished.
What?
Harvard. Bow Wow is his best friend.
Yeah. Got my dumbass.
Yo, legit though, I'm seriously, you guys have gotten progressively better in the ring. I saw you at SCI 2 years ago. I saw you at SCI this year. Leaps and bounds better. And your match with Violence is Forever this year was a fucking banger. John nearly died for our sins, mm-hmm. and you actually may have died for our sins. You may be on your second life, frankly.
I didn't know.
I have nine necks.
You have nine necks?
I'm like a cat with necks, and probably have two left. So, yeah, I kind of died for us that day.
Talk about your, I mean, I just imagine you guys eat, sleep, breathe, and shit wrestling. Is that accurate?
Oh, I definitely
unfortunately.
Should.
Yeah. That's kind of how we live. We've been around it for a whole lot.
Like, been in the shower and just listened to a match before, just to hear the pops, yeah. every time I watch Jericho or Triple H, baby, back in 04. Trying to hear that. Time to play the game! I'm in the shower just spitting water.
I'm not to that extent, but yeah, we're there. We like wrestling.
some would say we're pretty, it's all right. Yeah. I mean, if you're into that sort of thing.
I mean, it's whatever. We're just LARPing.
Yeah.
Just LARPing.
Professional LARPers.
Professional LARPers.
But no, so the improvement you guys are making, I mean, is it just basically one big training camp you guys are in all the time and you guys are just training all the time, or is it, how are you making the leaps and bounds you guys are making?
So for me personally, I kind of just wake up and think of an idea and I'm like, I could probably try that. Who needs practice? You know, some of the best people just went out there and winged it. So I just got there and winged it. That's how I get better. So very unsafe. Don't do that, please. Please practice your moves.
But I ain't gonna lie to you. When he did that swanton to the outside, I never seen him do it before.
He's never done it.
Never done it before. He called. I said, that was a creative move, motherfucker. How'd you pull that one out?
Back to the video games. 09, you know.
09, straight down, baby. Let's go.
My big
custom
finish. I would lay the dude down, and then you just hit the swan game glitched outside. Yeah, but I was like, I could probably do that into chairs. I know.
Sean, you're getting a lot better too.
Thank you. But
is it just hard work, or is it just you're coming up with this shit on the fly?
I try to watch and see, like, okay, how would a dog do it? And then I go,
would a dog do it?
Yeah. Basically, if a dog were to do this run spot, how would a dog do it? That's just how I try to think of it.
Now, you guys are road warriors, too. You guys are traveling everywhere. You guys are spending every single weekend on the road. You guys are... Okay, J-Rose,
no,
what was that?
Yo, you're right. You're right. You're spending every single weekend on the road.
Yeah, J-Rose.
You got the poop on us?
J-Rose.
No, you're right.
We do. J-Rose stays home.
I stayed home this weekend.
Go back to what you said. He just ruined everything. He made face expressions out of the group.
Man,
are you
quote that?
It's a podcast. No one would have saw the facial expression.
he literally yeeted you out the group.
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeefest.
Are you loving the life on the road, or does it get old? At a certain point, it's got to be taxing.
Oh, man.
All right, here we go. Ready for the real truth? I ain't about to be one of those guys.
Life on the road.
I love the road. That's my shit. Nah, like, that shit sucks. But we do it because we love it. Like, we love the business. Like, we want to do it. But in all fairness, we hate it. It's miserable. Those car rides, they hurt so bad. Like, wrestling is not what, like, really hurts me. It's being in the car and your body stiffens up and then you get out and your knees give out on you. That's what kills you more. It's not the wrestling. So it was 9 to 10 hour car rides.
Cause y'all are riding from Indy all the time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing near Indy.
No.
Unless you like corn.
Yeah.
We got corn, yeah.
We got a place up in Chicago. Yeah, so it's like 2 hours, not bad. But yeah.
Chicagoland, and then if you want to deal with it, there's stuff down in Southern Indiana and Jeffersonville. But we won't speak on that here.
Yeah, Jeffersonville runs, you know, every night. There's something in Jeffersonville.
Yeah, you're not lying.
You ain't lying.
And it sucks generally.
It don't. Like, listen, we all work for different promotions up in the Jeffersonville area. We're not gonna say that everything sucks, but the quality control just does not exist.
There's a lot of wrestling. Like, there's good product down there. Like, there's a couple like good places, but like, it's just too much.
We're not gonna name them. You have to go and figure out. Like,
yeah, I was about to put over one company. No, I was like, just for their belt.
No,
that's it.
No one else. Not giving nobody else no room.
I'm not gonna give them a shout out, but let's just say their belt had like a little heartbeat boy. And
you're bringing them up.
Hey, I just want to know. If you find out who the champ was at one point, it's funny, but we're gonna pass over that. We'll talk about that one afterwards.
Are you guys always working tag? Are you starting to think of working singles, or
we do both. Like, so like IFHY for us is like people look at it as just me and Sean, but there's also a big variety of us.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, me
it's
and
a gang,
yeah,
gang, gang.
Pretty much, yeah. At this point, but like me and Sean, we are like mainly tag a lot, mm-hmm. but we're also always available for singles if you guys
sure.
want. You can book either or. You don't have to like feel obligated. Like, well, budget's tight, can't bring the boys in. You can always bring one in and then bring another one later, or bring both. Like, you don't have to see us as a tag. If you don't want to, but we are mainly a tag.
Now, I saw you have a breakout match 2 weeks ago against AJ Gray.
Mm-hmm.
What did that match mean to you? How do you think you did?
It meant a lot to me because there was like a lot of eyes there on it, on the whole thing. So like I wanted to go out there and do my best, and I feel like me and AJ gave a really, really solid match for me being a replacement. I feel like it was really good for what it was.
And Sean, talk about some of the matches you've been having too.
Well, I had this thumb wrestling match last night. and I lost, but it's all right. We pick up next week. We'll try again. I've been doing a lot of thumb crunches.
Listen, he won't give himself the credit, but like Sean is growing as a performer each and every single day. Both of them are as individuals, and what Jonathan said is true. They are, we are a unit, but we are individuals in a unit. Sean literally just invented a, I don't know, I was out, I don't know if we already talked about it. He came up with a wrestling move that none of us have ever seen before. You want to talk about it, Sean?
Talk about your move.
So,
talk about the backstory.
We go back to 2009 SmackDown versus Raw. I picked old boy up for a burning hammer. I said, you know what? I do a pedigree. I'm going to catch him with it on the way down. So, I went out there and I tried it for the first time. I ain't going to lie to nobody. I took Jonathan away. Jonathan said, hey, just try it. I said,
all right. This is SmackDown versus Raw shit right
there. Yeah, I'm telling you. I said, finalize. And I said, all right. I got to add to my moveset.
That's ABCBA right there.
Yeah. So that's it. That's how I came up with it. I picked him up on my shoulder and said, damn, I can really do that. There it is.
And then he did it.
And I did it.
Jay Rose, you are everywhere and anywhere, and you are the human Swiss Army knife.
Yep, that's what people have started to call me. A nickname that I did not come up with.
I just thought of it, but I guess other people are thinking of it too. What are you enjoying the most? Are you enjoying the ring announcing? Are you enjoying the camera work? Are you enjoying the sound stuff, are you enjoying?
Genuinely, I enjoy every single part of it. I've really been enjoying as of recently.
That's a kiss-ass answer.
No. Can I finish?
Okay.
Can I finish?
I love all of it.
As of recently, I've enjoyed. I've been making a whole lot more content for independentwrestling.tv. Use promo code JRUS for 20 free days on the website.
And promo code IFHY.
That doesn't exist because. Jerry.tv doesn't want to give us a fair promo code. But legit, this is gonna sound real phony. The best part about everything that I do right now is seeing the growth and maturity of everybody else in IFHY, because that takes up a large portion of my time. And like at some points, in full transparency, it was like, damn, are we ever going to catch a break? And now, for everyone, it seems to happen. Tyler Matrix just did a Pro Wrestling Revolver. Jonathan had his Black Labor Pro. Sean is creating new moves every fucking day. Allie is getting all sorts of travel. She was just in King of Trios, yesterday? Mm-hmm. 2 days ago? Cole got booked for WrestleMania in September. And Billy and Alice, for as young as they are doing some incredible things. That's the sort of shit that I like to see. The growth and maturation of the group. As long as they make it, I'll be Gucci, man. That's what it's all about. It's about us, not about me.
And thank you, Miss Indiana. We'll be crowning Miss Universe next. Thank you for that response.
Hey, bro.
That's a good place to stop.
I look good in a tiara.
That's a good place to stop. Thank you, boys.
No problem. Thank you.
I'm here with Jaden Newman. It's a little bit noisy, but Jaden, tell us what you did tonight.
So tonight I proposed to my girlfriend, and luckily she said yes.
And you also won a wrestling match.
I did. So I guess it wasn't too bad of a night. Fucking beat the brakes off Allen Angels. Fucking dope.
Go in detail about how you proposed, what went into the idea, the whole process.
So essentially I had this idea a few months back. Whenever I was asking her parents for permission, her dad is a graphic designer who's done a few of my shirts. So I kind of pitched the idea to him of doing a t-shirt of like a drawing of me and her together as I'm proposing to her. And sadly he wasn't able to do it, but luckily one of my other design guys came in clutch. So the design came together, literally got the shirts yesterday. I got them picked up, so I was nervous about that. Had the ring for about a month now. And whenever it all just came together, man, the plan came together, and that's pretty much it. So I'm coming home an engaged man.
Cheyenne.
Yeah.
How surprised were you?
I was shook.
You were shook.
I was shook.
Did you have any idea whatsoever?
No, not that it would happen today.
Did you think it was going to happen at some point?
At some point, yeah. I expected Christmas.
We've already talked. I know you don't like that.
So you're an engaged woman now.
I'm a fucking Newman.
You're gonna be a Newman. It's pretty cool. Any idea about the wedding? Have you already started thinking about it?
No wedding.
No wedding?
No wedding?
Courthouse, big reception.
That's right, big party. Okay. Let everyone get fucked up while people watch.
Well, congratulations to you both, guys. I'm proud of you.
Guests on there. Enjoy wrestling weekend. Try to do a triple shot if you can. Try to go on long trips if you can. We might not have a show this coming week because I'll be going to Disney for the week, bringing my daughter. I still haven't told her. We're still trying to figure out a way to break it to her. We're probably just going to tell her in the car, hey, we're going to Disney. So maybe don't expect a show this week. Let's talk about Place to Be Nation. First off, check out our weekly shows. The Hard Traveling Fanboys go off the page, kick off their annual Walking Dead month with a discussion of Fear of the Walking Dead Season 4, Episode 1. As we're in October, Scott continues his look at the classic Universal Monsters in the latest edition of Pop Goes the Classics with 1931's Frankenstein. DC4U kicks off a month of DC Comics' best horror offerings with a list of Russell and Todd's favorite scary DC stories, plus a look at the Keanu Reeves' Constantine film from 2005. This Week in the NFL hits weekly as well, with Roger and Johnny recapping the last set of games and previewing the upcoming weekend batch. Kevin and Mary host a brother-sister rewatch. In episode 19, they bring you The Office, season 3, episodes 9 and 10. On Laughing Theater number 12, Andy welcomes David Sunday to watch So I Married an Axe Murderer. On the PTB&E ticket attraction, Jason welcomes Andy to discuss the other theme park in Orlando, Universal Studios Florida. I'll be going to Disney World and Animal Kingdom, so we will not be hitting Universal Studios. That's enough with a 6-year-old. And then he'll be joined by Starla Marie Locke to recap Universal's Halloween Horror Nights. She's a little too young for Halloween Horror Nights. She gets scared very easily. The greatest song of the 80s tournament concluded with Sweet Child of Mine winning the tournament. We'll be announcing our next tournament on the Next Place to Be podcast on October 14th, so stay tuned. Check out a brand new podcast feed brought to you by our very own Jennifer Smith. The Jenny Position can be found on Podbean, iTunes, and your favorite podcatcher app. It'll be home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, and lots of other fun new content. For October, Place to Be Nation's hosting our first ever Halloween movie challenge. We'll be giving you suggestions on what movies you should watch leading up to All Hallows Eve, which is an awesome typo negative song, by the way. When you do, go on social media and let us know by using the hashtag PTBN Halloween Movie Challenge. But why stop there? Every time you watch a scary or silly horror movie or special, let us know and we add it to our list. On the wrestling feed, Chris and Devin are back to break down the latest pay-per-view, Hell in a Cell, which I heard was a doozy. On the Place to Be podcast, JT and Scott begin a new decade as Steve Bennett joins them for the 11590 MSG House Show. On the latest Place to Be Extreme Three-Way Dance, JT, John, and Jenny continue their ECW adventure with When Worlds Collide. On Main Event 134, Scott, Nate, and Steve preview the Wednesday Night War between AEW and NXT plus a New Japan classic match pick. And on Row 1, Seat 1, I had Marco and Logan Stun on episode 23 and Ethan Page on episode 24. Don't forget to check out PlaceToBeNation.com. Each and every day we have new voices and fresh takes, bringing you articles from the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture. And then we have veteran columns like Glenn's Weekly Walk on Wednesday. For college football fans, Scott Criscolo and Logan Crosson have their campus hot takes, looking at the biggest matchups for college football every Tuesday afternoon. And if you're doing online shopping at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of Place to Be Nation's homepage using PlaceToBeNation/Amazon. www.placetobenation.com/Amazon. It takes you right to Amazon, helps us out with no cost to you. Check out our social media pages and message board at bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining our GWE pay-per-view and TV match ever project. Get in the conversation today and start researching your lists.